This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself.
Green flags, obviously the obvious ones, kind, funny, big willy. Beige flags, things like skiing.
As in,
yeah, he likes skiing.
Bit icky, but it's not a complete deal breaker.
Wealthy mummy's boy, not really a fan. Right, the idea for today's episode actually came from one of our lovely patrons, Lisa, who wanted to, what was that, like an Australian, Lisa? Hi, Lisa. who wanted to talk about Lauren's dating life. However, Lauren does not have a dating life to speak of. We've been pushing as gently as we can, but also I imagine that pressure is quite overwhelming. So we are going to give her a little bit of a break. However, there is something that we wanted to talk about on the podcast today, which is getting date ready. So the actual kind of physically getting ready for a date, but just kind of also the getting in the right mentality for dating. Because lots of our lovely listeners, Lauren included, have not been dating for a while, and it must be really intimidating. It must be quite scary, isn't it? So are you ready for today's ep, Lauren? Yeah. And have you got lots of lovely advice?
I do. And that's the thing. And, you know, we could have made this episode all about my dating life, but it doesn't need to be about me. This is kind of more, you know, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been single for, no matter who you date, kind of if you're starting it, whether it's for the first time in 9 years because you've been in a relationship, or you just haven't downloaded the apps for 6 months because you needed a bit of a break, this is kind of more just about getting physically and mentally ready for it. So it's everything from, like, you know, what to put on your dating profile, how to feel confident, to, you know, the everything shower that you're going to do before a date, what to do on your first date, when to have sex with them, and then also going on the actual date. This is more about kind of building up your confidence no matter who you are. So this is it. It's not about me. It's about all you today, which I quite like. Thank you very much, because the pressure is so real.
Oh, bless you. So, right, let's get started then with, how do you know if you're ready to start dating? And this is a question that will be very pertinent to you. Oh, I used a big word there. And how do you prioritize it?
It's one of those, and I'm sure you'll say the same, Laura, like, it's not a one size fits all of knowing when to date, because everyone comes at it from such a different circumstance. And in opening this conversation up to our listeners, we got lots of you sliding to our DMs about it. And even just some of your stories, some people are coming out of, like, traumatic relationships or situations, or have been prioritizing being a single mum for 20 years, all sorts of different things. And so everyone's coming at it from a different angle. So there's not like a one size fits all when you're ready. Like, if you've come out of a heartbreak, it's when you've kind of moved on enough that it doesn't physically hurt every day. For me, that was about 5 months, I think. But I think when you're quite curious, that's the time. But also, again, it's such a not one size fits all, because sometimes you need to be pushed into it, and it can feel like this really daunting prospect, because a lot is said online about what's really negative about dating. And there is stuff about, you know, that's out there that's positive as well, but there's a lot that's negative. So it can feel like this really daunting thing, and it doesn't have to be, certainly for your first dates, and we'll talk about it. So sometimes you need a little bit of push. That's a really annoying and long way of saying, babe, I don't fucking know. Do it. If you want to, do it. Once you've done your first date, you will know whether you're ready to or not, I think.
That's a good point. Mm. Also, I feel like it's one of the things that you'll never be fully ready. You just got to do it anyway. Mm. Unless you're, like, just out of a relationship. Although, you know, rebound sex is great. Like, I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. So
This is it. But it all depends, because it could have been a shit relationship that you were over years and years ago, and I've been there, and you crack on the next day. But if you've just had your heart shattered, it is not a good idea for you to do that straight away. Everybody needs a period of time to be single, no matter how long you were together or how old you are. I'm very emphatic about that. So you might not know, but once you've started dating, you'll know whether you are, or whether you want to continue dating, put it that way.
Fair point. And how do you prioritize it? Like, people like you, like, you're so busy. I genuinely don't know how you are going to have time to date.
Well, this is it. I kind of don't. And I didn't really date last year because I didn't have time to date, because I was, you know, after the whole mess of the first year at my old job, and it was awful, I didn't have the mental capacity to date because I was just so fucking depressed every day. Once I changed to my new job, it's so busy, and you need to kind of, I wanted to give that some time and effort. Also, we do this podcast, and also I'm trying to create an online community on Instagram, so there's lots going on. So it just wasn't on the top of my list. But I think what was really nice, actually, over New Year, I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast yet, over New Year, I had about a week off of Instagram and podcast, and then I was ill. So I kind of had a minute to think about my life priorities, and I was prioritizing the wrong thing. And I was like, the number one thing on my list is I'd love to have a family of my own, and I probably need to date men in order to start that. Currently, at some point in time, I won't need a man, and they're cool beans, but currently, right now, I probably should start. So then you just have to be like, it has to be a priority. You have to make time for it. I don't like the thing of people saying, like, oh, it's an extra job, because it just sounds, it makes it feel like work and we don't need that. But you do need to prioritize it and be in a space where if you're dating on the apps, you have got enough time in your day to get back to the people that you're matching with and put in time to talk to them and have evenings and or week, some weekends free to actually go on dates and all of that. There's no point doing it. You're just going to have to fit time. It's a bit of shit. It's a bit hard, babe. I do feel like
something's going to have to give with you. Like, I don't know. Because dating is, it's like looking for a new job is a full-time job, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like dating is as well.
It is. But it all comes down to if it's worth it. And the point of the whole thing is that it should be fun as well. So again, like saying it's like another job makes it sound like work. It is work, but it should be fun. And if you're chatting to dudes and stuff online, if you're not enjoying the chat, then bye-bye, see you later. Like, I've had some great chats with guys online and it's been really fun and you want to prioritize it. So yeah, it's a difficult one. Always number one thing to prioritize is your mental health. And if you need to come away from it for a little while, that's really important. But you need to work out how much of a priority it is in your life without impinging on who you are as a person and your existing relationships. So my thing at the minute is I've got 49 unread WhatsApps, right? It's unacceptable. And I wanted to start dating in January, but I'm like, if I can't get back to my best friends in the whole wide world and my family, I've got my dad and my stepmom in those unread messages. If I can't get back to the people in my life that I love the most, maybe a couple of weeks time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I would love for you to get another job or go part time at some point soon, because I do worry about you.
TBC, babes. So speaking of dating and romance, let's talk about the film that we saw recently. It is called Anyone But You. And you might have seen it because it's blown up on social media. I've seen it all over TikTok. And it feels everyone's talking about it. So we're going to talk about it too.
Yes, thanks to Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. We got to watch the film early, like the VIPs that we are. and they're also sponsoring this episode of Go Love Yourself. Okay, so Lauren, tell me what you thought about the film.
So I just... literally from the off, it's giving like early noughties rom-coms,
yes,
which is one of my favourite genres, right? Because it's one of these Shakespeare modern retellings. So it's based on kind of very, very loosely, of course, Much Ado About Nothing. So it's harking back to the like late 90s, early noughties films that did the same thing. So like 10 Things I Hate About You and other ones.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And it's I think a very quintessential rom-com. And I love a rom-com.
So for context, the film is about these two people who meet and then really hit it off. And then for one reason or another, which I won't spoil, they kind of end up going their separate ways. But they end up going to a wedding together because they both know people that are the people that get married. And they basically pretend to be a couple, don't they?
They do. And they've kind of got to fool everybody and what happens and the ups and downs of that. And it's this really lovely wedding, which, by the way, can we all get married in Australia, please? We're like, how gorgeous is that? And it's really lovely. So we want to talk about it because we think Go Love Yourself listeners will like it, because it's one of these films that I watched it solo, obviously, but I feel like I could have got the girls around to watch it or watched it with my sis. And it's just one of these cute little films that you could rewatch.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's really, really cute. I love the chemistry as well between the two leads. Like,
crikey.
It's
like
a, I know, right? Steamy.
Yeah.
and it was a proper, like, will they, won't they kind of vibe. I did take English literature, so I should know more about the Much Ado About Nothing synopsis, but I don't. Don't
I think
see
I'm going to say it's very loosely based.
Okay.
But what you will see, if you watch it, guys, you'll see these quotes from Shakespeare peppered through, like, the whole film. Like, watch it, but you need to watch it, and then it'll be on like billboards and stuff like that. So it's just really sweet.
Yeah, it is really sweet. And we need to talk about Sydney Sweeney. I know that you're crushing on Glenn Powell, who plays
we need to talk about the cast for a second,
do.
Please.
Such Jeez. A good cast. It's also got you know, Dermot Mulroney in it, and he was in The Wedding Date and My Best Friend's Wedding.
I love those films as well. It's giving that. It is giving those.
Except now he's playing the dad. And I'm like, oh, it makes me feel old.
He's playing the dad. It's so funny. I think he was saying it just reminds reminds me of Gav, my dad. Dermot, stop it.
No, I know what you mean. But no, Sydney Sweeney, she was in Euphoria, amazing actress.
Like, she was really good. I think she was really funny because I think she's quite dry.
Yes.
And the character... But even so, like, her character was quite, you think it's going to be one thing, but she's actually quite endearing and sweet. And she's got this, you know, we're obviously not telling like storylines and stuff, but her kind of not wanting to be this perfect person. And I really liked that. So I love her, but I just need to have a moment for Glenn Powell, please, because I've only really seen him in like action movies. So I've seen him in Top Gun.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's playing like the rom-com lead and I'm like, oh, hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
He fine.
He is fine. And yeah, they just had great chemistry, don't you think? Like throughout. Like, it's like one of those things where you're like, oh no, but I am invested. I do need them to end up together. Like, you're watching it thinking like, come on.
I know, I loved it.
But no, you're right. I think it's the perfect film for like a proper girls' night.
Yeah, I agree. And also the first, again, this isn't a spoiler. Can I just talk about the first 5 minutes? So a little bit is when they meet.
Yes.
There's no spoilers. And it just, when I was watching it and I got these like pangs of like jealousy, but also like, this is very lovely. Cause it's like, you know, those dates that you've ever had or when you're in the first bits of a relationship and literally all you do is like talk and laugh.
Yes. Yeah.
It just reminded me of that. And it was really cute.
It was cute. And I think as well, the thing I liked about it was it wasn't like there's cheese in it. There's plenty of cheese and we all love cheese, but there were also like moments of unpredictability in it. Like the opening and how they kind of met and then what happens. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. Mm. And so, yeah, you are really willing them to, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's just really good.
Yeah. Tell me a bit I really actually LOL'd at was the bit on the plane.
Oh,
so where
yeah.
he goes over to her, no, where she goes over to him and something happens and there's a cookie and he just really made me laugh. So, but also when he goes over to see her and there's the old man sitting next to her.
Yeah. And it's the like the banter, like it's 1 minute they're like all lovey-dovey and kind of like making a connection, the next minute they're like absolutely throwing shade at each other and
fucking at each other.
It's and they're brutal as well, aren't they?
They are brutal.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I love it. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I also liked as well, there's a bit of, like the storyline's quite sweet, but obviously they go on this trip. Again, that's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. So they go on this trip to Australia. And I just really quite like the bit about it showing what it's like to be on a trip that can be quite difficult. So to be on a trip when you're the only single person and there's lots of couples, or to be on a trip where, you know, perhaps you're with your family and there's a lot of pressure from them or you're going through something. And I quite liked that bit as well. So it's not, you know, had that kind of like little element in it as well. And as a single gal, I'm sure everyone else can relate to this, is going on these trips when you are the only single person there at a wedding especially, right, is really hard. And it didn't shy away from it, and it was just like, yeah, this is a bit shit. And also your dad and your stepmom and the bride's stepdad and everyone's trying to get you together and all this kind of thing, and it's a lot. So I appreciated that very much.
What did you think about the soundtrack as well, because that was banging?
We can talk about the soundtrack. The fact that, ladies and gentlemen, Unwritten is back in the charts.
I know.
Is sensation.
What a tune. Natasha Bedingfield, proper right? 90s vibes. Yeah, it's the nostalgia.
90s vibes. So it gives, I think, for you and me of our generation, as it were, it's giving the hills. Mm. But now it's not, because now it's all over TikTok and all the Gen Zs are listening to it. And it's back in the charts and I love it. It is my serenity song, Laura. I love it.
Oh, that ending, though. It was like giving proper Mamma Mia vibes.
Oh my God, it did. Oh, guys, let me know what you think about the ending. I think it was super cute.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's really lighthearted. It's fun. It's a bit silly. There's some very steamy sex scenes in it, though. Like, we need to talk about that shower scene.
I'm not even kidding you, Laura. I have written down on my notes, that shower scene. That shower scene. That is what I want, please.
That's if Glenn's
there,
want.
Cool beans. Yeah, if Glenn and Sydney are about, cool beans. But that was quite steamy.
Literally.
Very steamy.
Very steamy.
I love it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch it again with all the girls around, with like midnight snack vibes.
Definitely. Yeah, we need a movie salad for that, don't we?
Oh, Laura's talked about movie salads before. This is where you have the popcorn with...
Minstrels.
With chocolate and like sweeties.
Yeah. Haribo straws. And you shake it all up. And it's the thing of beauty.
Mm. And how did you also feel about the couple getting married? Because I loved them.
Oh, yeah. They were really cute as well, weren't they? I liked them. They had good chemistry as well. Yeah, again, just a really good cast. Like, yeah. I bet they had a lot of fun making that.
100%. Well, this is it. This is how it's kind of, I think, maybe got a bit more viral, because there was lots of photos taken at the time of them filming it. That was like, oh, what's going down? So it looked great. Also, what I really liked is there is a bit, again, it's in the trailer, no spoilers, guys, where they kind of are in Sydney Harbour, as in they're in the water. Mm. And you would assume it was green screen, and it's not. They actually had to like film in Sydney Harbour, and they had to like corner off a bit, but there are like actually sharks and stuff around. So they were just like, yeah, we're just hanging out in Sydney Harbour, like in the middle of the night filming.
Oh my God. I did not know that. That's mental. Does it make you excited to date again?
Oh my God. Do you know what? It actually did, because those first 5 minutes of remembering the beginnings of relationships and all like really good dates that you go on. That's what it gave me. It gave me remembering how good dating can be. Dating is good, it is the best. Yeah. And that was the best bit of it as well. And then obviously, maybe at the end I can either confirm or deny. But yeah, I thought it was great.
We loved it. We think you will too. If you want to watch Anyone But You at home, you can buy the film on digital from today to watch again and again from places like Sky Store, Apple TV, or Amazon Prime Video Store. Thank you so much, Anyone But You and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, for sponsoring this episode.
So let's say the next step is that you know you're ready to start dating and you've got time in your life to date. Mm-hmm. Who are we looking for, Laura? So just between me and you, who is your ideal man? But also, I need to know what your green flags are, what your red flags are, and what your beige flags are, please.
I love this idea of a beige flag.
I love it.
Someone who likes ponds. I can just about cope with it. No, my ideal man, sorry, Matt, is probably Adam Driver. I just fancy him so much.
That came out of left field, guys. I was not expecting it.
Do you know what it was? Is I think someone asked this question on one of our live recordings, and I was like, I can't think of anyone. I can think of loads of women. I think women are great. I can't think of any men. And then I kicked myself on the train on the way home. I was like, Adam Driver.
Yeah. Okay.
He's quirky. He's like intelligent. He's like emotionally intelligent, sensitive, tall, kind of like stocky, but not like, I really hate muscly men. Like, okay, right, I probably shouldn't say that. Don't cancel me. Don't come for me. This is a personal preference, all right? I don't find muscles that attractive, luckily for that. I just think I associate a little bit with like vanity. I think maybe wrongly. But it just doesn't do it for me. I'll give me a dad board any day, to be honest with you. Mm. But no, Adam Driver, okay, gonna marry him at some point, cool.
Buzzing.
Green flags, obviously the obvious ones, kind, funny, big willy. Beige flags, like things like skiing.
As in?
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, as in, yeah, he likes skiing. Like, I just
so
think
it's like,
that's
it's a bit icky,
of, like,
but it's not a complete
deal
breaker.
Wealthy mummy's boy, not really a fan. Yeah. And then the red flags, I'm sure we'll probably share. Anyone who is racist, homophobic, transphobic, like, not anti-women, but, like, even remotely sexist or whatever. I also, rudeness and arrogance. Mm. I absolutely detest those things. So if you're rude to a waiting staff or anything like that, like immediate red flag, no.
Such an ick, innit? It's so gross.
What about you?
My red flags are all the same. But even more of like an unwillingness to learn or change. Because the thing is, a lot of us grew up with, you know, phrases and words and stuff that are unacceptable. They were unacceptable then, but they were just... that's what we all said. Now we know better and now we do better. But if you're not willing to learn or like educate yourself, I've got no time for it. I think you're wrong. Because in my head, I'm like, if we have children, what are you going to be teaching my children? Exactly. I no time for it. No, I'm with you on the rudeness, grumpiness a little bit. I just want to go and have a lot of fun all the time. Someone that matches my energy would be probably a beige flag, because I don't know if that person exists.
I was going to say, do you not think that would be a bit much? Like, if I was the married at first sight coach, firstly, I think I'd do a better job than they do, just saying. Oh, she likes trees and he likes trees. They're both really unsuited, but they both like trees. Let's put them together. No, I think I would probably match you with someone who was a little bit more chilled, because I feel like then that would be a good balance, but not a fun sponge. Like,
yeah, no, I can't be dealing with it. I can't be dealing with, not boring or... So I appreciate some of my interests are very niche, like history, not everyone's up there, but I, you know, my thing would be like, listen to me wax lyrical about it for 5 minutes and then go and buy me treats, right? That's what I need. You don't need to be into history, because I got peoples for that. But yeah, I have been with someone who is like the life and soul of the party, and that's been cool. And also someone that's a bit more boring, and that's been fine. I don't know. This is it. I think I could go either way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, you need someone who's not definitely not boring.
Yeah, not boring.
Would you say that was your beige flag?
I guess it's a beige flag, because it's not like you're horrendous. It's just like you're a bit boring. But then that's boring. This is it, guys. I've been trying to think about my beige flags for a little while, and I need some more time.
Could it be like, wears Y fronts instead of boxers, or something really, really
silly like that? If he whistles. Oh my goodness. So
What's wrong with whistling?
I hate it.
Why? Are you serious?
I'm being completely fucking serious. If you whistled at me, I will have to slap you in your face, right? And I don't know whether it's a thing of like, when you live alone, you can become very susceptible to noises. And because you know that any noise that is being made in your house, not by you, is a stranger ghost that's about to kill you, right? Because like, there's no one else in the house and that's a thing. And so like, the sound of people chewing and whistling specifically, if he whistles, I think that's a beige flag, because I probably couldn't divorce him for that. I'd think about it. I've thought about it, and I would, but it's probably a beige flag.
okay. I've never heard that one before.
No. But really quick, let's have a let's go very serious for a second about the red flags and the beige flags, because I think this is a thing that some people go into dating and misunderstanding the difference between what is actually deal breakers and what's not. Like you said before, we all have preferences on what we find attractive.
Yeah.
But if you found your Adam Driver who didn't like skiing, but he wasn't really tall, that's not a reason to not go out with that person. Do you know what I mean? They're perfect in every other way. Sometimes that isn't what the deal breaker is. Or sometimes we get 100%. Like really narrow-minded, don't we, on what the deal breaker is. So this is it. I think after having a lifetime of short boyfriends, I think I need to go tall. But if they're short again, it's all good. We love a short king. It's all gravy.
I think that must be, like, we talk a lot about body image and women and the pressures that we face. I think for men, that must be a really, really hard one. Mm. Like, if you are shorter, because women always say, don't they, tall, dark and handsome is what they're after. And I think that must be really, really hard. So, yeah, I think you're right. We should be challenging ourselves. And like, I do think it's important that you do find the person, especially at the beginning, like sexually attractive, 100%. Yeah, of course. But I think, we do need to not be as picky when it comes to appearances, because how many fuckboys have you dated, Lauren, that were like, you know, beautiful faces and bodies, but were absolute arseholes?
Yeah,
like,
no.
We do. I'm not saying that you can't have both, but we do need to look past this superficialness a little bit, I think, when it comes to dating. And I think I worry about, like, my friends that are dating, is the whole swipe thing. It's just that it's people treat people as a commodity and they're like, oh, is there someone better out there?
Yeah, there is a lot of that. That is the fun time. And we're going to talk a little bit about apps now, but that is a real trickiness with apps. And it's certainly more with men than women. This kind of, there could be someone better that comes along. This unlimited selection of people that exist on apps, and the availability and the numbers are just huge. And girls on apps are so beautiful. And so these guys have got all these choices. And I think that's one of the issues with the apps at the minute, is that there's this infinite amount of choice. How do you make that choice and all of that? And it's really, really tough. We'll talk about the good bits of dating apps, because there are lots as well. It's just this unlimited array of dudes or women all the time. And that is making dating really hard.
I think that's why, I don't know, I would kind of personally veer away from something like, is it Tinder, isn't it, where you swipe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Loads of my friends are on Hinge or Bumble and they say they're all right.
They're the best ones. Yeah. So let's talk apps. So I would say across the board now in 2024, you want to be using Bumble or Hinge. This is in the UK. No other ones exist. And that's because you can kind of give a bit more personality to your profiles. And it's just, Tinder's got that reputation now and it's not moving. So that's where to put your attention. And you don't want to really do more than two. I think you actually really want to do one so you can focus your attention on one.
Yeah.
Would be my advice. Because it is a lot. And if you just got, again, unlimited swipes coming from everywhere and you see the same guys on the same app and it's all just a lot, I would focus your attention on one. And my advice would be Hinge. But if you want to do two, I would go for Bumble as well.
And would you say that's for all age groups? Because I'm conscious that lots of our listeners will be kind of 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus, maybe older, and will maybe be wondering.
Yeah, I have no idea. You guys tell us. If you're single and you're older than 40, please let us know. I would say so, because I hope so. I think POF, Plenty of Fish, is still about.
That's where I met Matt.
I know. But now, I would please avoid. Stop it.
Yeah, it changed, I think.
Yes, it did. I was using that in like 2016 and it was ropey then.
I've had a couple of friends that have met on a site, and this is not a plug, by the way, or an ad or anything, but, and it might be rubbish because this was a little while ago, on like Mums Meet Dads or like Ones for Parents.
Oh, I haven't even heard of that.
Especially for like single parents, because I know that for a lot of people, they can be thinking, oh, I want a date, but I've got three kids or whatever. And, you know, someone's going to be put off by that. Mm. So yeah, Mums Meet Dads is another good one. And I've also had a couple of friends that have met people on like Specialist Hobby Ones. And we need to find you a history one. I knew that that's what you're thinking since I said it.
I figured out my beige flag. It would be if they prefer Henry the VII over Richard the III, but we'll talk about it later.
Oh, dear Christ. God help him. And speaking of God, I've had friends also have met like on Christian, dating site. So like specific ones for like religion and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess just kind of shop around, really. I mean, just that's really, really shit advice. Like, do your own research.
No, but do your own research. Speak to friends. Yeah. Have a look on web. Like, there'll be Facebook groups about this that, you know, there's infinite amount of, you know, content and information out there. Go and find it. I know that there is some specific ones for plus size women. The only one I went on to, I think I did go on to two, but one I just couldn't work out. I think it's called Woo Plus. And that didn't seem that bad because there were some like genuinely like cool people on there, because there is an added element of sometimes that kind of over-sexualization of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is minute, can I just say. And if you are going to go onto these sites, there are some, you know, that I've seen. I'm a straight woman looking for dudes. There have been some really nice dudes on there.
Yeah, I think you just need to be a little bit wary of like the fetishization. Mm. Yes, got it. Because, yeah, I think like there are BBW sites where it is purely for that. Yeah. It's purely for like sex and that you are fetishized. But I think we also need to understand that people just do have a preference for bigger women, and just like people have a preference for smaller women or shorter men or taller men. It's fine. So I think, yeah, just need to be a bit careful. Like, you can tell, like we've spoken about this before, you know, like people messaging, it's like, hey, BBW.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, there's like this sense of entitlement, always like you're going to be easy just because you're fat. And I really hated that when I was dating, hated it. So yeah, just be a little bit careful, a little bit wary, but there's nothing wrong with someone finding, you know, saying that they're into plus size women. Mm. I think that's perfectly valid. Don't let that put you off. Just don't let it become all about that and all about sex and fetishizing your bigger body. That's all I would say.
I totally agree. And do you remember like when we first started the podcast, I'm sure it was an episode we did with Stephanie Yeboah. And I just said, I hated when I saw guys' profiles that said, I love curvy women. I was like, I think that's like, why are they saying it? Why do they need to say it? And actually, it's like, because they like curvy women. Like, they've stated the preference. Okay, I'm not going to state on my thing, I like broad shoulders. But they've stated a preference. Or if their first message is something to do with that, okay, it's not ideal. Because again, I wouldn't go straight to a dude and be like, I really like your thighs. But it's not all about that. It doesn't have to be this over-sexualization. It is just sometimes a preference. So find out if you like it or if you don't like it, and either way is absolutely fine.
And I would also say, I don't know if, again, this is still the same, but I remember when I was on Plenty of Fish, you had to put your like body type down. And I remember there was one that said like a few extra pounds, and there was another one that was like BBW or big and beautiful or something like that, which I was like, oh, that is cringe.
Yeah.
But I would just say, like, be honest, because I think I put a few extra pounds when really I wasn't. I was plus size. Mm. I was, you know, a fat babe, and that's just facts. Because I think that adds more pressure to you when you go on a date, because you'll be then thinking, oh God, what if I'm bigger than they think they are? And also, and we've spoken about this a million times, but that's why you need to be putting on at least one, preferably two or three, full length photos of what you actually look like, because then they know what they're getting, and then you hopefully aren't going on this date with any nerves of fuck, what if I'm catfishing them, or what if I'm not, you know, what they expected.
Yeah,
you're just going on with the normal, you know, first date nerves that everybody has.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think if you're dating right now, what you look like is what you look like. I think most of my dating app pictures are of the six that you can think I can have, I think five are full length, because I'm like, this is what I look like. That's being truthful. Same as I've put silly little quotes on or talking about whatever, that's what I'm like and this is what I look like. You have to be honest. Otherwise, what's the point? What are you doing?
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for a fail, I think, doing that, aren't
you? Yeah, potentially. And there is nothing wrong with how you look is also what I'm trying to say. So just own it and put
just
yourself
be honest,
out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And like, obviously you're going to put your best photos forward, but I would also say don't just put your best photos forward. Put ones with you,
yeah,
with minimal makeup or a bit of scruffy hair, like what you look like every day. Because me and Matt talk about this all the time, like when you see girls that have got like loads of makeup on and like done up to the nines and stuff, and they look amazing, and we agree they look amazing, but he's like, guys don't necessarily always want that. Mm. Like, we actually prefer the more kind of like pared back look. Like, you don't need to kind of trail it on. Obviously we wear what we want and we do makeup for how we like it, not for men. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I feel like we think that men want that perfect, and actually, I don't know. I don't think, not all of them do.
It's a difficult one again, because it's like, it's the feminist in me screaming, because it's like, at no point in my life do I want to do anything for the adoration or the like eye of a man. However, when you are on these apps, you are looking to attract men, and they do think differently. I don't know, mate. I might disagree with it. I might say, if you wear a lot of makeup and you love wearing it, then do that. But I think the important thing is maybe showing yourself in like different lights. So maybe, yeah, like a bit of scrappy hair, or doing certain things, or one with a bit of a double chin, if you've got a double chin, and just owning it and all that kind of thing, is just showing the real you and that kind of thing. It's really hard, honestly, the feminist in me, and I'm like, fuck men, fuck them all. How dare, like, I don't want to do anything for the gaze of a man. But yet we have to make these profiles for the gaze of a man. It's so hard. It's so hard. Dating as a feminist, it's really, I think that's probably where I'm struggling. I won't lie. Mm. It's really awful, because you kind of got to make yourself, appease yourself to these men and make yourself attractive to them, when I know in my real life, I'm like, I am so fabulous. I know I am a catch. I know at some point in time, some dude's going to be super lucky to have me, but I also have to go and find that dude and tell them I'm fabulous. Why can't they just know it?
I want to say I don't envy you, but I don't want to patronise and like be, you know, I keep remembering that episode we did with Shaney Silver. Mm. And like, you'll find your person. But I, you know, obviously I really, really hope you do.
Mm. It's a tricky one, because again, like, I think the instinct from people who aren't single is to be like, oh, I really hope you find them. Oh, I really want that for you. Oh, it'll happen when you find them. And it may, for me, again, I think as a star, as a very, very, very independent and feminist woman, it sort of sits there as like, oh, you're not complete until you find a guy. You must find a guy. It's that princess thing, isn't it? We've grown up with fairy tales. You're not complete until you find a man. You know, the messages that I've get that say, oh, I really hope you settle down soon. Why do I have to be in a relationship to be settled? Do you know, that all just don't love it. But I do understand, and it's a weird one for people coming like people in relationship to be like, of course you don't envy it, because it is really difficult. But also, this is a good opportunity to maybe talk about the good things about dating, and specifically dating online. I've had some fucking awesome dates. I've met really good people. I've had some great times. I've had lots of fun. And the way I see it, and I appreciate we are just talking about dating online, but this does go across if you're just like meeting people in real life as well. Please tell me how that's done. I just see it as an opportunity to meet new people, find out about their lives, do things that you wouldn't be doing. Like, if I was going to go on a date tomorrow night and go to a bar or go to do something in London, that's something new I would be doing, because otherwise I'd be sat on the sofa. Do you know what I mean? So it's like all about doing new things and meeting new people. And I think that's really exciting. And even if it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. And I will also say, like, we hear so many horror stories, and like, I will obviously admit it was 10 years ago since I've dated online, but I also had a great time. Mm. I met some lovely people. I had no horror stories. One horrific day, which I won't even go into, but that was nothing to do with my weight. I really thought it was all going to be about my size. No one's going to fancy me. Mm. I really put myself down. I had a great time, and it was really not all bad. And I think we build it up too much, and we think we put ourselves down, I think, especially if we have got body insecurities or you know, insecurities with our skin or our nose, or because we're hairy, or there's always something with us, isn't there?
Yeah.
And actually, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. And let me tell you, like, one of the reasons that I maybe haven't dated for a little while, or still there's always this nagging feeling in my head of like, you can't date yet because you're still fat. And that sucks, yeah. But I'm just being very honest, because also, let's be honest, as if dating wouldn't be easier if I was still a size 12, right? But I'm not. So this is where the difference is of moving, you know, to either, you know, body confidence or body neutrality, is that I'm not, and that's okay. But there's sometimes like, oh my God, my big belly, like they're not going to like it. Let me tell you, that has never been an issue ever. No dude that I have like been on a date with or been intimate with since I've been single has ever mentioned it, had a problem with it. In fact, they've quite liked it, or they've just, it's not been an issue or even talked about. There is no evidence to support the fact that like guys won't like my tummy or my big arms or whatever, because I'm more than that. Same as when I'm thinking about a guy, I'm not remembering like a bigger belly or a hairy back or something like that. I'm remembering how they made me laugh and how they made me feel and what they said to me and all of that. That's the important stuff. So we need to get out of our heads about it. It's so silly. And yes, I just wanted to say that because I understand the body confidence reasons for not wanting to date and being scared about it. I totally get it. And yes, I understand that I come at that with an element of body privilege being a size 20. But I think as a whole, like you said, as an experience, it's really quite fun, most of it.
Yeah, it is. And we should be going into it, I think. Obviously being a bit cautious, but yeah, with the hope of having fun, having a good time.
Hell yeah.
All right, so I've got a different question for you. I feel like I know what the answer's going to be, but would you ever go on a blind date?
Ooh, I think I would.
Yeah,
I think I would. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
This is it. I don't really have like a type. I mean, like my friends will be laughing because they're all going to say my type is someone that's 5'8" and below, and lol, because all the guys I've been in relationships with have all been shorter. But I don't have a physical preference. I'm literally like, if you're a nice person and you can make me laugh, you will laugh me all the way into bed, sir. Has happened, will always happen. Like, if you can play a musical instrument? Fabulous. But if not, I'd go on a blind date, mate. If they've got good vibes.
Nice.
Would you have done?
No, I don't think I would have done.
Scary.
Too scared. Yeah, 100%.
Right, okay, so we're going to move on. So let's imagine that we have built up the confidence and we have set up our dating profiles, or you're dating in real life, blah, blah, blah. You have secured a date. Fabulous. Woo-hoo. Times. Lucky that person that will be dating you, by the way. Let's talk about getting ready for a date. Now, first off, I am a firm believer that your first date is actually your 0.5 date and should either be going for a coffee, a very quick drink, or going for a walk. And it should be like an hour, unless you absolutely hit it off. It should be that. And you've told them already that you've got this plan. You're meeting at like, I don't know, 7, and you've got a plan at 9 kind of thing.
Who has a plan at 9?
Do you know why? Okay, maybe not. I've got to be home. I got an early meeting in the morning. I need to get up. But like, that's your chance where you get to know them. And as humans, you can kind of decide if you like someone very quickly or not. And yes, okay, there might be differences with that, and it might take a little while for some people to grow on you. But the first date is very pressured anyway. Let's not put more pressure on it by going on a 3-course meal kind of date and you realize 10 minutes in that you've got no chat with this person, and then you have to sit there for an hour and a half hating your life. A 0.5 date is 100% the way to go. Let's talk what we're wearing to the first date, or the 0.5 date, or even date one. Do you remember what you used to wear?
Yeah, I think I would always go for like, this will surprise you, Lauren.
Wait, let me guess. Was it a floral mini dress and trainers with a denim jacket?
No. No. Sometimes, or a trench coat. No, I did always wear, pretty much, yeah. I'd wear like a little tea dress, because I've always loved them and I felt comfortable in them. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Comfort is key. Don't wear something just because, you know, it might look nice, but if you're not comfortable, you're going to be pulling it down, pulling it up, twisting around, not being your proper self in it. Please don't wear it. Like Felicity Hayward, we had her on the podcast season 2, and didn't she say the best piece of advice that she said for anyone is comfort?
Yeah.
Just be comfortable.
Just be comfortable. And I think there's...
Wear flat shoes.
Yeah, possibly. And there's things in your wardrobe that you know that you're comfortable in, but feel quite confident slash not sexy, but just like sassy in. I think that's my like the sweet spot. So if you're going on a 0.5 on a walk, you're not going to wear that outfit. But like I have like a standard outfit that I wear.
Do you?
Well, I did wear, this was like sort of 2022 that I did wear to all my first dates. It might be different now, but let's see. It was a black midi dress, like one of those kind of square neck ones with a slit up quite far up the leg, to be honest, but whatever. Still wore my chub rubs with white ankle boots and a leather jacket. And I'd usually have my hair like curly because I was like, I feel fierce and I feel confident and I feel fabulous and sassy and I'm still me and comfortable and confident in it. 100%.
Okay. And what about like first date activities? I feel like what all I ever saw was my ideal first date is a zoo. Oh, can I just say that that is beige, maybe even
beige. Yeah,
me.
I don't like a zoo. Hate a zoo. Do you hate a zoo?
I hate zoos. My dad was like, oh, do you want to take, I'm going to get the nieces, his grandkids, my nieces, a trip to the zoo for Christmas. Will you come with me? Will you take them with me? I was like, absolutely not. I was like, oh no, you'd love it. No, I would not. Cruel. No, thank you.
No, it's just a bit boring.
It's cruel.
And cruel, anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
So not a zoo, but where are we thinking then?
Okay, so if we've moved on from a 0.5, because we talked about the 0.5 to a first
date. Yeah, we've done the 0.5 coffee date, walk date.
I still think a bar for a drink. And again, there's no obligation to have alcohol. You'd usually have a Diet Coke. For activities in general for dates, do you know what people always say for like first dates? Things like, you know, like the ping pong thing. And
no, I don't want to go bowling and put my feet in someone else's foot sweat and fingers in places that have no.
I'm a fat babe. I am naturally going to get a bit more worn out quicker. If you ever been to one of those ping pong places, it's a workout, right? I don't want to be like, so much your favorite color. Like, I don't want that. So no to that.
Yeah.
I think there's millions of
crazy
things.
Golf.
Crazy golf's cute.
A nice meal.
We like going for nice meals. Maybe going to the beach and playing on the arcades is quite cute.
A beach date's nice.
And
it doesn't cost a lot of money, because that's the other thing I will say is that it puts a lot of people off.
You could do like pottery making. I think that'd be really funny. You could go to a comedy gig. You can go to a show, a movie. There's a million things to do. I think any of the things that you're doing with your friends, you could do with a date. But again, I think for the first couple, keeping it quite simple, you are still getting to know this person. So just keep it quite simple and make sure that you've got the time to kind of get to know each other. And then if it is a bit awkward, because sometimes dates are awkward, if you've got a thing that you're doing that you can talk about as well, sometimes that breaks the ice.
My icebreaker at uni was always, what's your favourite biscuit? And I remember...
Oh my God.
It was Freshers Week, right? And it was the first night we all went to the... student union bar or whatever.
Oh God, I miss the
union.
We
all sat down and no one was talking. And I was like, this is fucking awkward. You have to say something to break the ice. And I went... So, what's everyone's favourite biscuit? And she's now one of my best mates, Lorna. She literally said that she remembered literally sitting there and being like, oh my God, who is this girl?
Is this what this uni is?
Luckily, she still talks to me, but yeah.
So that's now, really that, cute. That
it's always, they always say now, like, so, and if there's like a silence, they're like, so, what's everyone's favourite biscuit? All right, so in terms of like conversations, other than not talking about what's your favourite biscuit, I would say if you can, don't talk about your insecurities, because I personally think that, I don't know, I just think some people aren't as nice as we all are. Mm. And we'll not prey on it, but I just think that maybe leave that for a little bit, because if you pick up on something, they're drawn to it. I just think, fake it till you make it, baby. Be confident. You don't need to bring up the fact that you're bigger. They can see that you're bigger. You don't need to bring up the fact, for example, if you've got a bigger nose or, you know, acne-prone skin or whatever, they'll probably just see it. And actually, you not mentioning it, I think, shows like an inner confidence. So that would be my advice.
I completely agree. And I must say, like, two dudes I dated like a year ago or whatever, they were so good. Gosh, where are they now? But like, they were really impressed with the confidence, and it was sort of like not even as much as a turn on, but more just like, you're so confident, you own who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I am bigger. I
that
don't
is a
care.
Turn on.
And it
yeah.
is. And it's like, and not in an arrogant way. It's just, well, this is who I am and I know who I am kind of thing. Other than that, and I don't think there are any off limit topics. I think you'll know the vibe when you get there. But I do agree with you. Not focusing on your insecurities and not giving them the power of knowing what that is yet, because they don't need to know that and they're probably not going to care. Also, I have another tip just before you're going on a date, and that is the power of music. I have got a playlist, I call it Walking to a First Date, and it is just full of like girl power, motivational music, whoop whoop fun times, I'm so great, aren't I? And then by the time you get to the date, you're like, oh hi, I'm so great. It's really good.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what do we do if we are not enjoying a date, been there, bloody awkward, hate it?
It's happened to us all. I want to kind of end on in a minute talking about safety. But if you're just not enjoying it, I think it will naturally hopefully come to quite a nice end. That's happened in my experience. It just sort of like the conversation wraps up and it's like, should we get the bill? Should we go? That kind of thing. At the end of the night, if they want to kiss you, go for a hug or go for nothing. If you don't want to kiss them, do not kiss them. And if they want another date and you don't say, oh, you know, it was so nice to meet you and find out about you, but the spark really wasn't there for me. I don't really feel romantically about you. Something along those lines. Good luck in all your endeavours, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But just get yourself out of the situation or find an excuse to leave. Being nice to about their feelings to an extent, but also just knowing that it's a dating game. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, saying you've got to go. Would you agree?
I do agree, yeah. Oh, I used to have a code word with some of my close friends, mainly my mum, and I would text marshmallow. I only had to use it once, and she was like, it was really bad. It sounds like an actually really bad porn film. My plumbing's broken. can you come and help? And I'd be like, oh no, that's so bad. You need to be calm. Right now? Oh, okay.
Been there, but okay, yeah.
But yeah, I do think you need a code word for awkward situations, and I also think you need a code word for dangerous situations.
Yes. So let's talk about this just before we end. So the safety of it. Number one, more important than anything else we've talked about, is making sure that you are safe.
100%.
And this is not to scaremonger, that I am being realistic. And I say this with my friends all the time, you know, about being scared about what could happen. I'm just being realistic. So if you're going on a date, tell people where you are going. I've got a WhatsApp group with two of my best friends and they know where I'm going, who I'm going with. They've got a screenshot of his face. They know his name. They know everything that I know. Mm. I've also got Find My Friends on so they can literally see where I'm going and see where I am and tell them when you're there and when you're leaving and all of that kind of thing. If you feel unsafe, if you're in a place where you're in like a bar or a restaurant, speak to a member of staff. There are systems and processes in place and you can say words and things like that, that they can get rid of that person for you, or they can call you a cab or something like that. Just leave. Block them afterwards. And if you're in an unsafe situation, your safety comes first. If it's obviously a really bad situation, please call 999. Again, this is, I'm not trying to scaremonger. It's just like, we can't talk about dating and talking about women dating men and not talk about it. It's really important to me that we talk about safety. I just wanted to mention that. Another really important thing is, if you're starting to date somebody, do not tell them where you live. Don't have them pick them up at your house. Don't tell them where you live. Don't tell them your street. Barely tell them the area that you live in, right? Keep yourself safe at all times.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And just remember, like, it is supposed to be fun and it can be fun. We actually had a message from one of our listeners who messaged us a few months ago, actually, to say that she'd just broken up from a 9-year relationship. You might remember us talking about her. Well, she sent us an update, Lauren, and are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
She says, just an update, ... I'm dating. Woo-woo! She said, I'm navigating first kisses, sex, and it's so wild, but so much fun. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to just have fun. So to all my girls ready to date out there, exciting times are coming.
Oh,
literally.
My goodness. And that's also giving me like little butterflies in my tummy, because if you remember like the good things, it's so much fun. And also one thing, we haven't really spoken about sex in this episode, but one of the quite good things about it is if you're dating a lot, you can get quite experimental, and that's quite fun as well. And like first kisses and all of that. And it's really just a chance to explore who you are. I think that's a really important part. But dating can be and is on the most part so fun. I'm actually quite buzzing.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that. Really? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, guys. As always, if you want more of us, you can give us a follow over on Instagram at GoLoveYourselfPod. Or get in touch on email, goloveyourself@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
And we have a fabulous community group over on Facebook, so you can just search Go Love Yourself Community.
We also release extra episodes of the podcast every week over on GLY Plus. You can become a subscriber for just £1 a week, and that's where we share the real juicy secrets.
Or you can listen to Go Love Yourself ad-free on Amazon Music. Thank you so much for listening. I've loved this, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain, and this is It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.